Okay, I thought we'd talk tonight about some of the COVID-related issues that have come up as pertain to Rosh Hashanah, Hava Aleinu Latova. So probably the primary foremost issue that people have been discussing is the potential of spread through shofar blowing and the inconclusive research, but the presumption that there could be aerosol spread through instruments, through blowing a shofar, and that somehow is on the scale between talking and coughing. It's potentially a bigger spread risk than talking, but less of a spread risk than coughing. And the CDC apparently recommends that as opposed to normal 6-foot social distancing, if you're playing a trombone, you have to stay at least 9 feet away from other people. So this is potentially relevant to shofar. No one really knows for sure what the actual spread risk is, but there have been conversations about how to mitigate the potential risk as much as possible. Obviously, if the Baal Tokea has antibodies or had a previous episode, it's less likely that he would be contagious medically. But that probably hasn't been a barometer for who we're hiring as Baal Tokea. So one thing that has come up is the possibility, this particular issue has been discussed less, but if you direct the shofar down as opposed to up, does that potentially mitigate the spread risk? So our minhag is to blow the shofar up, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch on Simon Tavkuf Pei Hei Sif Beis Rama Reis Tov Liko B'tzad Yamin. So we blow on the right side of the mouth. The shofar is supposed to be facing up. Mishabur says up means up, dafka, and not to the side. Mishabur there, sifkatan zayin. So there is such a minhag. Rav Asher, in recently published shir, or a shir that he gave last week, which is published in writing, didn't think that you should forego this minhag, because this is a old minhag going back to the Rishonim, and the point of this minhag is alalakim betrua. It's going to assist us in having the kol shofar accepted in Shemayim to be mamlet ba'klai Yisrael. So why should we forego that minhag? Benji, you're not doing your job. There are two people. Can you see them? Really? We'll have to figure that out later.
I don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't see anyone.
Really, you're not able to, you don't see the list of, if you click on participants, if anyone's in the waiting room, it should allow you to see them and then let them in, I believe. Either way, so Rav Asher didn't think that you should forego this minhag Yisrael of blowing the shofar up. Rav Schechter in general has commented about these things, that if it's a choice between doing something to mitigate potential spread and the minhag, so then you have to be mevater on the minhag. And as we've discussed in this forum previously, the Dagam Rivava, that you don't even need a Tarat Adarim on a minhag or a Hanhagatova if the reason you're foregoing it is because of an extenuating circumstance and you intend to return to that minhag at some point later when circumstances allow. In the Otzar HaChachma forum, someone pointed out that notwithstanding the minhag basis over here, there may be a dina consideration of blowing the shofar up as opposed to down. They quote from the Jewish Binyan Shlomo, Shlomo Vilner, Simon Memches, that maybe there's even a chisaron d'oraisa if you don't blow the shofar, if you don't hold it up, because it has to be derek edelasso. The holding the shofar up is derek edelasso. I'm not quite sure how that works, because derek edelasso of the shofar, when the horn is on the ram, it's the wide part that's attached to the head of the ram, right? So derek edelasso, if anything, should be upside down. I'm not sure what he means by that, but he has that suggestion that maybe it's more than a minhag, maybe it's a psul deraisa of derek edelasso. The other minhag issue that comes up in terms of the placement of the Baal Tokea is where does the Baal Tokea stand? So the Shulchan Aruch records in Simen Tav Kuf Pei Hei Se'if Hei that Noah Gilutkoa Alabima Bimakam Shekorin. that the minhag is that the Baal Tokeya stands at the bima exactly where Kriyas HaTorah takes place. Interestingly, the Darkei Moshe quotes from a kolbo. I couldn't find the kolbo inside, but he quotes from a kolbo that there were places where this minhag was only on the first day, not on the second day. That the first day the Baal Tokeya would stand at the bima, and the second day the Baal Tokeya would stand at his seat. And the Darkei Moshe says that's not the minhag. The minhag is that the Baal Tokeya stands at the bima on both days. What's the reason for such a minhag to stand dafka at the bima? So Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkat and Zayin, "Kedei shezchus haTorah yagin aleinu lalo zichronenu lefanu letova." That the zchus haTorah, we're leaning at the bima, so the zchus of the kriyas haTorah from the leaning at the bima should help us be successful with the tkiyas shofar. Okay. Aruch HaShulchan writes, "V'nogin l'tkol abima v'machem shakarim b'torah kemes shenitkenu achari kriyas haTorah." Simply a pragmatic thing that you blow shofar right after leaning, so you're already standing there for leaning, you might as well blow shofar there as well. But not a particular excuse per se, but a more pragmatic consideration. And in the Orchos Chaim Sipinka, he quotes from a Sefer Zirchron Avram. I'm not sure about the authorship of that Sefer. He says, "In a shat tokeya yama lefnei amud v'yitka v'lo yelech al bima kakosim aril."
Oh, Rizalman, you're muted.
Yeah, Benji, can you mute me?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay. I won't take it personally. Next time we'll have a different co-host. So he quotes, "Uba'arz sham kasev al mina litkoa al abima deveisak nesas gedola umruvachas sara chafchana rabba im ein chashash kol avara im tokei b'makam achazen v'chein yosir tov litkoa be'emza beisak nesas al abima." So the concern is that if you have a very large shul and you're going to blow somewhere to the side, you're going to blow in the front of the shul, then people may not hear the authentic kol shofar. They may hear a kol havara. A kol havara is a problem of tokei l'toch habor. If you're outside the bor, without defining exactly what a kol havara is, let's call it an echo for the moment, although echo may not be the an accurate definition. But we're concerned you're not going to hear the authentic sound of the shofar if the Baal Tokeya is going to be standing somewhere to the side. So better you should stand in the middle, somewhat equidistant from all the mispalim, where the bima is, and that way everyone will be able to hear the authentic kol shofar. So it would seem, looking at those reasons, if the reason is the zchus haTorah, so that would still apply in any circumstance, and then you have to cheshbon if there are other counterbalancing considerations to be mevatar on the minhag. If it's simply pragmatic, either because it's right after Kriyas HaTorah like the Aruch HaShulchan, or because it's better to hear from the middle, like what the Aruch HaShulchan Sipinka quotes, so then it's even more arguable that if there are other pragmatic considerations in the other direction, then you would go with the other considerations. So if there's a cheshbon to have the Baal Tokeya stand somewhere else, for example, to stand facing outside, if there's a door going outside and blow outside, blow into the outside, assuming everyone can hear that properly, so then presumably there would be sufficient grounds, definitely with Rav Schechter's approach to things, but even if you're bothered about the authentic minhag, there definitely would be grounds to consider having the Baal Tokeya stand in a different location than normal in order to blow, if that's going to mitigate potential spread. And then you could be mochel on this minhag of blowing at the bima. Okay. The other discussion that has been going on has been whether to mask the shofar. I was looking at some of the literature about the people researching trombones and the like, who talk about double masking, both the tokei of the trombone masking while blowing the trombone and just having a little hole in the middle of the mask to put their mouth through, and putting a mask on the other side of the trombone or the oboe or whatever those percussion instruments are, so that the aerosol spread is minimized. So does that work? Assuming that that might be effective, is there a halachic issue in masking a shofar? So the Gemara says, Andav Kavzayin Amud Beis, in Rosh Hashanah, Here we go, towards the top of the Amud. Tzipahu Zahav Mibifnim Pasol. If you line a shofar with gold on the inside, it's pasol. Mibachutz Im Nishtana Kolo Mikamoth Shahaya Pasol Vim Lav Kasher. If you line it on the outside, then it depends. If it affects the sound of the shofar, if it creates a shinoi kol, then it's pasul. If it does not create a shinoi kol, then it is kasher. So the Gemara here introduces a notion of shinoi kol, presumably independent, nothing to do, well, not the same thing as a kol havara. Again, if we'll assume for the moment the kol havara is a kind of echo, we're not talking about an echo, we're talking about some kind of shinoi in the sound of the shofar, so a shinoi kol potentially would pasul. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tav Kuf Pei Hei Seif Tes Vav, Seif Tes Ayin rather. And then in Sif Yud Zayin, there's another application of shinoi kol. Hamitzayrim b'shofar tsuros b'minei tzivon k'nei lanosa. People would decorate their shofar. Lo yafa heimosim. That's not a good idea. Why is it not a good idea? Says the Mishabruah, quoting Achronim, Dilif Amin Nishtana Hakol Ma'at Bishvilzeh. If you're going to decorate the shofar, some of those decorations have some mamashos, and that's going to alter the sound of the shofar, and therefore not a good idea to decorate your shofar. Revozner, Shuvas Shevet Alevi Chelechess, Simen Kufla Megimel Osches, Chelechess, Simen Kufla Megimel Osches, points out the following. The Ritva, and that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, writes, "Uneata kol shofar hamitzupa mitzuyor mibachutz ein token bo." Now, if you have a shofar that is decorated or covered with fired material on the outside, you can't use it to blow shofar. El in kain, amdula bikiyim kodim lachain, unless you have the experts investigate. Umakirim shalo nishtana kolo klal. And they are able to ascertain through their expertise that there is no shinoi kol whatsoever. That the covering doesn't create any alteration of the kol of the shofar. And also that there's no hole in the shofar, because that would be another problem. The lekel and medak lekula midelo kisani imlo nishtana kolo kasher. The lema adshe nishtana vade lo paslina lei. And don't say that the Ritva. The Gemara says that we're concerned that there may be a shinoi hakol. So maybe we're only going to pass if we know that there's a shinoi hakol, but not misafek. The lekel neimar came in the chazin and reyusa deliisura sveka deraisa lachumra. No, since we're talking about a din deraisa sveka deraisa lachumra. So even if you don't know for sure that there's a shinoi hakol, as long as you're choshesh that there may be a shinoi kol, until you have the experts tell you otherwise, you have to be machmir. So says Rav Ozner, l'chor l'ashen shachan arach shumei Rambam, shekasa d'lo yafei mosin, mashmir vaksa hiris hachachila, avalantaka yatsa, mash enken l'ritva. So Rav Ozner says in machlokas yishonim, l'ashen l'machabri, which is l'ashen a Rambam, was lo yafei mosin. If you put these pictures on the shofar, these decorations, it's not a good idea. Not a good idea. It doesn't sound like it's ma'akev, doesn't sound like it's puzzle. It's not l'chachila, as opposed to the Ritva that says very emphatically that unless you have the Bikiyim do their investigation, you have to assume that there may be a shinei hakol, and that's going to pasul. So that's what Rav Ozner says. Machlokas Rishonim, how concerned are we about a minimal shinei hakol? That from the Lashon HaMechaber, based on the Rambam, it sounds like a chashash of a minimal shinei hakol doesn't bother us, at least b'di'evet. And according to the Ritva, even a minimal shinoi kol will pasul b'di'evet. Rav Asher pointed out that there's a lashon. The Ritva there quotes Ramban. The Ramban himself is printed in the Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah of the Ramban. He has the following language: She'im kulo mitzupa ba'osan hatsiyurin. That if the whole shofar is going to be colored with these decorations, lif'amim kolo mishtana ben, sometimes it's going to have a shinoi kol. So it doesn't sound like, under all circumstances, it's pasul. that if it's all covered, it may have a shinui kol. But if it's not all covered, and even if it is all covered, it doesn't necessarily have a shinui kol. So the Ritva is to the extreme that any shinui is going to be ma'akivim b'di'eved. In the Rambam, it could be that a minimal shinui would not be li'ikuva. So what's less clear is what exactly is considered a shinui kol. So Rav Asher assumed that if you put a mask on the back or on the back end of the shofar, on the wide end of the shofar, there's no qualitative difference in the sound that's being emitted. It may be weaker, but it's qualitatively the same kol shofar, and therefore wouldn't constitute a shinoi. And he said, even according to the Ritva, who's machmir, the Ritva is only machmir in a situation of safik because it's vega the rest of the chumra. This year, we don't have tkiyat shofar d'oraisa anyway, because we're not blowing on the first day, only on the second day. So maybe it'll only be the Rabbanan. So maybe even the Ritva would agree. But interestingly, Rav Asher thinks that better to put a, if you want to put a mask on a shofar, he's more willing to allow you to put a mask on a shofar than to forego the minhag of holding the shofar upright. Okay. Rav Schechter also thinks that the putting a mask on a shofar doesn't create a real shinoi. A shinoi means a different sound. And if you put a mask on a shofar, it's not creating a different sound. That's the recommendation of the Kol Eretz Chaim, the Yerushalayim, that publicized that they think everyone should mask their shofars. Rabbi Reese in Chicago told me that he had one of the Bali Tkia there, who's a piano tuner, did some testing on masking shofars, and he felt that if you put a mask on the shofar and tie your rubber band around it so it's actually tight, it's a different sound, not just a different pitch, not just a weaker sound, but it's actually a different sound, which at least potentially may constitute a shinui kol. So if you hold the mask further away from the shofar, not on the shofar taut, then it probably doesn't help mitigate spread so much anyway. But that would be the same kol. But if you tie it on the shofar itself and tie it tight, then his piano tuner thought that is a shinui kol. I saw one of these pamphlets from Yerushalayim from Beis Hara of the Minchas Yitzchak neighborhood in Yerushalayim, that they felt the mechaber there that you have to be machmer on any chashash shinui kol, like what we saw in the Ritva. And he raised another issue. There's a din also in that Gemara. Let's bring the Gemara back up on the screen. Gemara back on Kozayin Amibes has another din. Tana Rabbanan, fourth long line. Hosef Olav Kol Shehu, Bein Bimino, Bein Shelo Bimino Pasol. If you add anything onto the shofar, be it shofar material or be it foreign material, that is pasul. Because you have to have shofar echad amar rachmana v'lo beis shofros, or v'lo shofar v'davar acher, that you have to have a single unified shofar. If you add foreign material, then that's not a single unified shofar anymore. So this mechaber thought, he was concerned, that if you put a mask on a shofar, that's a foreign material. That's a violation of this din, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Pei Vav, Seif Yud Aleph. I spoke to Rabbi Willig about this last night. He told me that three people today already had asked him the same question. And he didn't think that's what the Gemara means, that Bein Shalom Aminos, you're actually adding onto the shofar. You're putting some material that is part and parcel of the shofar. Here, the mask, it may be on top of the shofar, but it's not part of the shofar. I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, the Sephardi chief rabbi, in his published directives, that if necessary, if there's no other way, and you want to use a mask, you could do it as long as you check ahead of time and you do your experiments that there's no shinui kol involved in the mask. So again, it's unclear how do you define shinui kol in this context. What is a shinui kol? Unclear. The other potential Eitza that is being discussed is, let's say you put the Baal Tokeya behind some barrier, behind some plexiglass. So Rav Asher discussed this in the context of the capsules, capsulot in Eretz Yisrael. If you have a shul that's divided into different capsules with plexiglass milchitza between the sections, I think that's the rule now. You can't have more than 19 people in a capsule, but you could have multiple capsules in the same shul. So depending on size, you could have more people in separate capsules. So if you're going to blow in one capsule, people are going to hear in the other capsule. Is that a potential concern of Kol Havara? So he thinks definitely if you experiment ahead of time and you would determine that the stand of the shul for the other side of the plexiglass is the same as on your side, that should be okay. According to many, if you're outside a house and you hear outside the shul and you hear the shul from inside, the tas notwithstanding, if it's not a distorted kol, that should be okay, not a kol havara. But time doesn't allow to go into a more robust discussion of kol havara this evening. So that's some of the shofar related issues. It seems like the cleanest way of doing it is to have as much distance as possible between the Baal Tokeya and everyone else. And if there's a shul that has a window or a door outside or to another room, and the Baal Tokeya can blow there into that other room or into outside, that's probably maybe the best eitzah. Okay, a couple ha'aras about people are davening the Yechidus on Rosh Hashanah. So the din, as we've discussed in the past, is that when it comes to any time-bound mitzvah saseh, there's an iser achila before performing the mitzvah. So you're not allowed to eat before saying Kriyas Shema in principle. You're not allowed to eat before shaking lulav. You're not allowed to eat before blowing shofar. So whether the parameter allows for te'ima, so that we discussed in the past, and maybe te'ima would be mutter. Let's say te'ima is less than a kebetza. But what happens if a person is davening b'chidus, can't go to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and someone's going to blow shofar for him at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? So he can't eat until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He has to fast all day. Even if you allow a te'ima, so we have a kebetza of a mezonos, and that's it. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Lulav, Simen Tav Reish Nun Beis Sif Katan Zayin. In the context of the Yisra Achila before shaking Lulav, Te'ima Ba'alma Medina Shari, that technically speaking you could have a Te'ima, which let's say is less than a Kavetza. But it's not a good idea to be makel to allow even a team unless there's a major need. Okay. A person's traveling and he's expecting to have access to lulav later in the day. Or people live in the sticks and they're expecting a delivery of a lulav later in the day. They only need to wait until Chatzos. If it's not going to be there by Chatzos, they can eat after Chatzos or by Chatzos. Even on Yantar Rishon, where it's a mitzvah deraisa, still, you shouldn't fast past Chatzos because you're not allowed to fast on Yantar past Chatzos. V'yesh omrim d'imit zapashi avilo lula of eilo lahan m'klal dare yesh lo mishi askirenu l'notlo. And the Yishomrim that if you expect a lulav later, so then you could eat right away because that's considered an arev. The person bringing you the lulav is going to remind you have to shake lulav. So in our situation, if you know that a Baal Tokeya is going to come blow for you sometime late in the afternoon, so number one, presumably you don't have to fast that long. Even though it's Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, perhaps even on Shabbos, that we also discussed in the past, maybe there is no Isur Tanis past Chatzos. But that notwithstanding, especially with the second suggestion of the Mishnah Berurah, that if you know someone's going to come with a lulav, that's considered an arif, he'll remind you. But by the same token, if you have an arrangement that the Baal Tokeya is going to come and blow for you, then that would be a sufficient arif as well. The din is in Siman Tavkuf Sadi Beis, based on the Gemara, that even though Bitzibur we blow al Seder Abrachos, if a person's davening b'yichidus, there's no tki al Seder Abrachos. He doesn't blow during the Musar Shemoneh Esrei, even if he's a Baal Torkei himself, he knows how to blow. And in theory, he could blow al Seder Abrachos, as the Mishnah explains there. The takana of tekiyas al Seder Abrachos was only made Bitzibur, wasn't made b'yachid. So there's no need for blowing al Seder Hatkiyas, and that's not the way to do it. The Shari Tshuva there quotes a Tshuva Saradvaz, Chele Beis Simen Shin Mem Zayin, that he says that if a Yachid wants to, he's allowed to. The Chidoi quotes against it. It seems like the consensus is that even if he wants to, he shouldn't, because that's not the, there's no takana of Tki al Seder Brachos B'yachid. Tekios Mu'uma, Mishabrua points out in Taf Kuf Behe Sivkat and Beis, that even though technically speaking, if you have a people that are gathered Bitzibor, they could sit down for the Tekios. They could sit down for the Tekios de Miyushav, but B'yachid, you should stand. That's only an allowance in the Nei Covenant Tzibur to sit down for the Tekios de Miyushav. Our practice is to sample the Tekios anyway, but technically speaking, if there's a need, you could sit down the Tzibur for the Tekios de Miyushav, but a Yachid doesn't have that dispensation because there's no Covenant Tzibur Cheshvan. Finally, as far as the minhag of going to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yom Kippur, which potentially may not be advisable under the current situation. So the Chaber and the Ramah, both in Siman Peches and Hilchas Kriyas Shema, and in Hilchas Yom Kippur and Siman Tav Reish Vav Sif Dalid, discusses the institution of Tisha Kabin. That there was Takanas Ezra at one point in history, that in order for Baal Keri to learn Torah, maybe say Kriyas Shema, Tefillah, he had to go to the mikvah. And there's an equivalence of, if you don't have a mikvah available, of Tisha Kabin, of having 9 kav of water poured over you. So what it says in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Tafresh Vav Sif Dalid, Yachal Litbol Velilkos Matai Sheyirtze Haga Ve'Einor Zarech Litbol Rapa Machas Belo Vidoi Mishum Kari Vadin Datalas Tisha Kabin Mayim Nami Mahani. So Tisha Kabin can work as well. There's a Tshuva the Minchas Yitzchak Dayin Wais Chela Dalit Simon Kaf Aleph. So there's a lengthy Tshuva, and then in the Miluim, he says, okay, so he establishes in the tshuva that a shower could constitute Tisha Kabin as well. If you stand under a shower, that could be Tisha Kabin. Maybe it has to be poured on you from a kli. So he has two rights that you don't need a kli for the din of Tisha Kabin. Number one, he quotes a Rashi in Gittin Daf Zayin. The Gemara there says that a balkari shenasnu lav Tisha Kabin mayim tahar. That if you have a Baal Keri, you can't go to the mikvah. If you use Tisha Kabin, that's good enough. Perish Rashi, Ezra Tikein Tfila Bali Kriyan, Karian, Kodesh Yaska B'Torah, Bikilu Alachola, Bidasinas Tisha Kabin, Afilu Sheuvin. You can even use Mayim Sheuvin, says Dayan Weiss. You can even use Mayim Sheuvin. If it has to be a Kli, it's only Mayim Sheuvin. Because by definition, if you're using a Kli, it's going to be Mayim Sheuvin. The fact that Rashi says Afilu Mayim Sheuvin indicates that it doesn't have to be b'kli. And second, Raya from the Beis Yosef, Tisha Kabin Sh'amu Davka Kisha Shofkim Alav, Aval Lipo B'Sochem Lomahani Midi, you have to pour it on him. Beinim Heim B'kli O B'Karka, whether it's b'kli O B'Karka. Mashma, that if it's b'Karka, the only Kisaren is in the Shvicha, but not the fact that there's no kli. So again, you see that there's no need for a kli. That's Dayan Weiss's Pesach. that if you stand under a shower, even though there's no kli, that's considered to be Tisha Kabin. And Rav Schachter has quoted in the current context that that we assume like this Minchas Yitzchak, that if you stand under the shower, that's Tisha Kabin, and that would be sufficient for our purposes. So the pashtus is that whether this works for Erev Yom Kippur would be dependent on why do we go to the mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. Do we go because of Kari, or do we go because of Tshuva? If it's because of Tshuva, so then Tisha Kabin won't help. Tisha Kabin is only Shasatchak Takana for a Chola who's a Balkari or Shasatchak situation. But the Prima Gadim says over there that no, even if it's Mishum Tshuva, still Tisha Kabin is going to work if you don't have, he says, if you're Mitzar from going to the mikvah, or presumably if you don't have access to the mikvah as well. So in terms of the calculation, I saw somewhere that Tisha Kabin, the Mishnah Berurah says in Peches is 24 quartin, so that's 23 liters. So according to the cheshbon that I saw, depending on how restricted the flow of the shower is, in the range of how much water comes down per minute is between 2.5 gallons and 10 gallons. So according to this cheshbon, if you stand under the shower for 3 minutes, then you should have experienced Tisha Kabin. According to even if you have the stingiest shower on the market. Okay, we should all have a ksiva chasima tova, tichla hashana v'kila sa'a, and we should get out of this mess soon and get back to normal soon. I think next week we will not have a shir. I'm sorry?
Good Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos, so there won't be a shir next week because it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. We'll pick up Amir Hashem ben Kesel Asor, and then we'll break again for Erev Sukkos and Sukkos.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Shabbos.
Great, have a great Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good